Good morning, church.
Buenos días, iglesia. The unpleasantness of a pleasing people. How would you rank these items from best to worst? Number one, how the world views us. Number two, how we view ourselves. And number three, how God views us. I would say the very worst way to live is when we're concerned with how people in the world feel about us. Imagine having your happiness depend upon how many likes you get on Facebook or Instagram. Imagine a career based upon how many people like you on Instagram, and there are people who literally do live that way. Imagine having to be concerned about the ups and downs of fickle people. Living our lives based upon how we feel about ourselves might be a bit better, but not by much, because we can't trust how we feel about ourselves. On good days, we feel invincible, top of the world, unstoppable. But that is an inaccurate assessment of ourselves. And on bad days, we feel like failures, losers, can't do anything right. That's also an inaccurate assessment of ourselves. We are actually incapable of having the accurate, non-biased viewpoint of ourselves that we need because we are ourselves. We are in ourselves. So no, we really shouldn't trust how we feel about ourselves too much. No, I'd say the very best way to live our lives is based upon how God views us. Unlike the world, He doesn't change. Unlike us, He is completely fair and no respecter of persons. How He feels about us also happens to be the truth about us. So I guess the question is, how do we know how God feels about us? How do we know that we are living according to God's approval, that He is happy with us? It is really quite simple. Well, it is quite simple, ideally, in principle. Matthew 6:33. It's really all you have to worry about. But don't even worry about this if you're doing it. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Seek the kingdom first. That of God above all else. And live righteously. And He will give you everything you need. And for me, everything you need isn't just physical, material things. He says earlier, life. All that we need in life will be given to us if we seek His kingdom first, above everything else. If you seek God first, He'll guide us along the very best path of life. Repent from sin and seek Him first, and God will be happy with us, guaranteed. But easier said than done, right? Despite the fact that living to please other people is the worst way to live, it's still one of the hardest things to avoid doing for many. I want to talk to people today who are still trying to please people too much. Let's talk about the unpleasantness of pleasing people. What are the underlying causes of trying to please people? Perhaps you grew up in a strict household and strict parents, and we are therefore used to the habit of living for someone's approval. All of us need at least some attention. At least some attention. And perhaps we overly enjoy the feeling of even people having happy attention in our direction. Here's from the website Psychology Today. It says here, and I quote, "People pleasing is not just a habit, it is an identity. We define ourselves by how well we are pleasing others. This means that if we manage to perceive that they are happy with what we have done or said, just for a minute, we can feel good about ourselves." You see, if our identity is not grounded in Christ, then we will never have a true identity. It'll be based upon other people's view of ourselves, which is a very dangerous place to be. More from Psychology Today, and I quote, "And if we manage to get into a groove of pleasing others, well then, we can be happier for a longer period of time. But of course, this is much harder to do because we never really know what others people want. We have only our own perceptions and their facial expressions and words to go by. And they could be, and often are, lying. especially if they are also people pleasers or have some other agenda. More quote, more than anything else, people pleasing is an anxiety-provoking way to live. We are always worried about whether or not we have measured up to that top line on the imagined measuring stick which someone else is always holding. And since they are holding it, they can do with it whatever they want because they are in charge. They are in charge of our lives. You begin to see why it is important that we call Jesus Christ our Lord and Master, saying he is in control because he's the only person that can very fairly be somebody we desire to please, that he is holding the measuring stick. And we know that his standards are clear and unchanging. They are the word of God. It is amazing. The Bible will not change, never has changed, and still works. Live our lives based upon that standard, not the fickle nature of society and people. You see, we can't really know how to please fickle people, but we can know how to please God. And everyone, here's another thing, everybody is called by the same standards, the same rules, the same exact way today. But hold on, I said after the introduction that this sermon is for people who want to people please too much. Somebody here might be saying, I don't want to please anybody, so this sermon is not for me. I want to clarify that the issue here is pleasing people too much, to the point where we basically are making people our Lord. There is indeed a calling in Scripture that we live not for ourselves, however, but for other people. We are not called to completely escape serving other people. We are called to serve. Making other people happy around us, fellowshipping should be a concern to us. We are called to be selfless. Indeed, even Christ our Lord did this in John 13, 12. Look at John 13, 12 to 17. He washed the feet of his disciples. I don't want to wash anybody's feet today. And people's feet today are a lot cleaner than those in the old days where they wore sandals all the time. And their feet was full of all kinds of nasty things. Washing feet was a very important task in those days, but a very demeaning task. Yet, Jesus Christ our Lord did it, showing how we should be for other people, pleasing them to a certain extent, serving them. John 13, 12, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. So we're not called to escape completely pleasing each other. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So let me clarify that it is not bad to please through service. But what I'm talking about this morning is the sin that we're going to see right here, the sin that is described in Proverbs 29, 25. This is where we go too far. Proverbs 29, 25 says this, that fearing people, being overly concerned with people and their viewpoint, that they affect our life, fearing people is a dangerous trap. But trusting the Lord means safety. Being so overly concerned with the thoughts and wishes of people that we take the pearls that God has given us, these pearls being our time, our energy, our money, our life, our emotions, and giving these things of God to people who will eventually misuse and or abuse those very things. The Bible will say that's wrong. Please understand that Jesus died on the cross for the entire world. And at times, I think about how sad it is that Jesus Christ died and the vast majority of people won't accept it. But I am encouraged to know that Christ's sacrifice only works for those who want his gifts. It only works for people who desire it. Jesus Christ is not trying to please people so much that his sacrifice works for people who don't want him. Imagine a people-pleasing Jesus. Imagine Jesus Christ being a respecter of persons, changing his rules for everybody just to save them, saving people who don't want him. Imagine that. I want you to be saved so badly that I'll give you my best, and you can have it whether you like it or not, whether you love me or not. No, that's not how Christ works. Notice, we can only be forgiven for our sins if we ask for forgiveness. Indeed, it is a very dangerous sin to take Christ's sacrifice and be trivial with it. Hebrews 6, in my opinion, talks about that. Don't fool around with Christ's sacrifice. Take it in a very serious way. People who are trivial in Christ's sacrifice, there's no forgiveness after that. If you mess around with Christ's forgiveness, you can't be forgiven. So no, I'm happy to know that you can only receive Christ's sacrifice if you want it. But we can fall for a similar trap. We, the body of Christ, who are also called to give the gospel of Christ, to give our lives to people, can fall for the same trap of giving the very things of God to people who don't want it. And that is wrong. That we are taking our lives and casting it upon people who don't even want what we have to give, all because we want to earn their approval. Meanwhile, there are people out there who need the gifts that God has given us. Sometimes we can spend so much time and energy and effort at people who don't want Christ, don't want our lives. But if you look around, even our neighborhood, there are people who truly do want what we have to say. We have to find them and have the courage to go out and talk to them. They do exist, but we can't find them if we're focused on trying to please people or trying to give things to people who don't really want it at all. There are people out there who truly want to hear the gospel. We say sometimes, some people say, I'm evangelizing to nobody. Is there anybody who wants to hear the word of God? I find them. They're there. The harvest is plenty, the Bible says. There's always work to do. There are people who truly need our energy and time and lives, and that's a danger of people pleasing. The further danger of people pleasing is the eventual realization that we can't please everyone at once. At some point, you realize, no matter what I do, somebody is not happy with me. So what do I do? Every single one of our words, and I mean every single one of our words, spread far enough will offend somebody. Especially today. Today, you can bank off offense. Literally, you can make money being offended, okay? You can literally be offended and make videos and make money off of that. We are offended culture. Even my expression just now, every one of our words will offend somebody, will probably offend somebody if they heard that today. How dare you say people are easily offended? I think you're underestimating people, Alex. I'm offended by that statement. You laugh. You laugh, but go on Twitter and write anything on Twitter, okay? Somebody won't like it. But people still try to please everyone at the same time. I can't say this around this person. I can't say that around that person. Eventually, the people pleaser is forced to cut into one solution. I gotta just be quiet then. I can't talk. So Christians today, in an effort to please society, to please politics, to please their friends, to please their coworkers, they don't talk anymore. Because they know, well, if I say something, somebody will get hurt by it, so I won't say it. So we have a whole generation of quiet Christians who are doing nothing, all afraid, because they want to please people more than pleasing God. They say, if I'm quiet, that will please everybody. In the book of Job, in Job 31, in my opinion, I said it before, I'll say it again. In my opinion, Job 31 is the male equivalent of Proverbs 31. Okay? You see Job saying, this is what I am as a man of God. This is what I have done as a man of God. In the book of Job, it's a great chapter. Read through Job 31 and compare yourself to his standards and see if you meet them. But he says, at some point, I was never quiet. I didn't care about what people thought. I spoke the truth no matter what. Job 31, verse 34. Job 31, verse 34. Well, let's read 33 as well. He says, have I tried to hide my sins like other people do, concealing my guilt in my heart? Have I feared the crowd or the contempt of the masses so that I kept quiet and stayed indoors? So many Christians are keeping quiet and staying indoors. So many Christians don't want to go out anymore. They say, come to me, maybe. I'll talk to you if you come to church. Because I don't want to offend you. I know if you go to church, you want to hear from me. So they don't want to go out. Not Job. Job knew that to fear people more than fearing God will eventually lead us to silence. Job knew that fearing the contempt of the masses is not how to live. Job never lived his life worried about not being liked. That's one thing we also fear. I want people to like me. Well, especially me. This sermon, this, for the record, is I'm talking to myself as well. This is a psychological experiment for myself. I am a people pleaser. And I oftentimes try my best to please everybody. And as a minister, it's not a bad thing to do per se. It's not a bad habit per se. But it can go too far. Because for a minister, a desire to be liked may sometimes cause him to not speak the truth. But I had to come to a point one day where I said, I don't care what that means. I'm going to speak the truth no matter what. I had to separate myself from a desire to be liked. I want to be liked. Don't get me wrong. Oh, I do. Oh, I want to be liked. But I had to come to the conclusion one day that being loved by God and doing God's will is more important. And I'll tell you in a little bit my equation as to why. It does work out. As a Christian, we have it covered. But Job wanted to make sure that God liked him, not man liked him. God loved him, not that man loved him. But therein lies the conflict. Some of you may be thinking, okay, but how do I balance this? Is it truly one or the other? Is it possible to please God and man? Can God like us and can people like us? Because I don't care who you are, everybody here wants somebody to like us. Our spouses, hopefully, right? If not spouses, maybe our children, right? We want somebody to like us, and like we all want it to a certain extent. But where is the line? At what point do we have to say, I don't care if you like me or not? Where is that line drawn? Galatians 1:10 describes this clear conflict, and this is something I meditate on a regular basis as a former people pleaser. Galatians 1:10 says this, because in Galatians, Paul is not trying to please people at all. In fact, I'm pretty sure his popularity may have gone down a little bit when the people of Galatia read this book. But he writes, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, he says, I would not be Christ's servant. Look at that. If pleasing people were my goal, he says, I would not be Christ's servant. There's a clear conflict between the two lifestyles. Pleasing God and pleasing people are opposed for this basic reason. Later on, Paul will describe the conflict between God and man. Why is it that pleasing God and pleasing people cannot go hand in hand all the time? Here's why. Galatians 5, 16 to 23. Galatians 5, 16 to 23. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. What's happening is, if we're being guided by the Holy Spirit, we cannot make happy those being guided by the sinful lifestyles. They can't go together. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. That's why we can't please people in the world. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what a sinful nature desires. It's so good to desire to do what is right, to love doing God's will. It's a wonderful feeling. But these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. This is Paul talking to the Galatian people who wanted to follow the law of Moses, a different discussion. But he says here, verse 19 again, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, The results are very clear. And here's what the world wants us to do. Here is why we can't please people, because this is what they want us to do. And we can't do it all. We can't even do all these things here. But here's what the world wants us to do. Sexual immorality, definitely. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as Paul says here, let me tell you again, as I have said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the fruits, if you will, the fruits of evil, if you will, evil fruits. But the Holy Spirit, he says in verse 22, produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. In other words, no law can contain these things. No law can properly hold these things down. This is spiritual things. They're beyond the law. And so you see why the two sides can't work. You see why we cannot please human beings. But still, we are called to fellowship. We are called to serve. It can't be completely true that we're to live only for God, that we live only for the spiritual God. We're called to live for each other. Indeed, the body of Christ is this church. And here's the answer to our riddle here. Living for each other, serving each other, is pleasing God. It works in church. It can't work in the world, but it works in church. I think we have to factor in that all people are not worldly. There are people also who are like us, who say, I want to please God. I am not the only person living for God. Others are too. Prayerfully, everybody in this room is. I believe we are. And if lots of people are living for God, then those people, also called Christians, have no conflict when they're also living for each other. You see? That's how it works. We're all looking at God, and in that process, we're all doing the same thing for the Lord, and we're all fellowshipping and serving. You can please people who also love God. That's what it comes down to it. Again, check out the spiritual equation. If we are living for God, then we are working to yield the fruit described in Galatians 5. If we are living for people, then we are working to yield bad fruit, described in Galatians 5. Good people who love God love the good fruit. Bad people who don't care about God don't want that good fruit. So, if you are pleasing God, people who love God will also be pleased by us. What a relief. And I got to say, as a minister myself, I want to express to you how wonderful it is to be able to open the Bible up in San Francisco Bay Area, preach the truth, and people love to hear the word of God. I want to express to you how wonderful it is and how I know this should not be taken for granted. What a blessing it is to be around people who also love the Bible, who also love the truth. And so when I do my job and people are happy, I'm not thinking about pleasing you necessarily, but you guys are pleased by the same things I'm pleased by. It's easy. It's automatic. In other words, the only people we should care about pleasing, indeed, the only people that we can truly please, are the people who also love the Lord. And it will happen automatically. You don't even have to try to please spiritual people. Talk to somebody right now about preaching, and they didn't know they had enough material, or they, you know, and I said, people who love the Bible, all you got to do is preach the Bible. That's it. And they love to hear the word of God. It's a wonderful blessing, because they too are trying to please God. And that is what Christian unity is, by the way. We are not united in anything else except all of us wanting to do God's will. Oh, there are other things that we do as a church, potlucks and events, but that's not what unifies us. What unifies us all together is that we all say, I want to please God. And as long as we're trying to please God and not ourselves or anything else, then we will stay together. people together trying to serve and please God. And in so doing, we will serve automatically and please one another. That's my lesson. The Bible says if you believe in him, are baptized in the name of Jesus, you will be saved. And I tell you right now, to be saved, living for God and not man and not even ourselves, is such a relief. So anybody here who is still busy living for the world, trying to please people, and has not yet taken upon the task of living for God, please remember, Christ said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Please consider answering the gospel call as we stand and sing.